So I should start this thing? All right. What? I'm going. We're really professional, you know. Hello, and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. That's the award right there. Today's episode brought to you by Billions of Years of Evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks on the InnerTubes and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours, which hasn't yet won any awards. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll give you what for.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
Are you being condescending?
No, no.
Just then, you sounded like you were being condescending.
I would never speak to you in a condescending manner.
There, you did it again.
Aren't you cute?
I'll give you what for.
What for?
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you. You silly goose. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Richard Bain and Matt Kirshen. You know these guys from Showbiz. The show started.
Are you laughing at us?
Dude, you guys nailed that. That was fucking intense.
Was it?
I hadn't realized until looking at it. No, I know. I should have realized.
I know.
It's 2012, this award.
Yeah, it was from 2012.
I thought you had some awards a little bit more contemporary.
What are you trying to say?
No, yeah. I just hadn't realized you guys were of the past.
What year was it that you didn't win Last Comic Standing?
2007. That's why I don't describe myself as the nearly award-winning Matt Kirshen anymore.
which
did until 2008, and then it was done.
So what are your more contemporary losses? Notice how I drink.
Friendship.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep, I think we've nailed that one.
Yeah.
Are you taking a sip there? Was that to prove that I wasn't a ventriloquist act or something?
See how I continue to speak as I drink my drink?
You're not sitting on his lap, though, so.
Yeah, right. So, no, I thought it might look like, to those who are watching the video, might look like I'm being
condescending.
That's the theme of today's show, condescending.
We get it. Your show has a theme.
Oh!
I don't know.
Rude.
What does condescending mean? First of all, Richard, thanks for being here.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks
Welcome.
For having me.
So your comedy
back.
Last
Were you
night.
On
yeah, I was on with Jesse Case.
On Ardent Atheist, or was it Skeptically Yours? I can't remember.
Ardent Atheist.
Yes. Ardent Atheist.
Couldn't get a word in edgewise.
No, and the big thing was my coming out of what I believed.
Yeah, and we didn't know.
We never found out.
I'm dying to know what you believe, because every time we came back from, remember, we came back
oh,
from
Oh, that's
break,
right. It was a running
gag.
And
we never got it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Matt, what's up with you?
I've been good. I've been in LA. I saw Richard Bain do comedy last night. It was a treat.
Let me tell you.
If you're aware of him.
We don't call good sets treats here. I don't know if you knew that.
That's Emery was there, but he didn't say that. So it was
a feast for the senses.
It was. Is that what
the
we
human
call
senses.
It?
Where are you from?
Feast for the senses. You're a funny motherfucker, man.
Thank you.
Really funny.
Yeah, that was fun last night.
It's a cool gig.
We should give it a little plug, because other friends of the show are behind it as well.
It's
a new show in Glendale, and it's produced by... Dax? Yeah,
and
produced by Dax Jordan and Virginia Jones.
Yep.
And it's at a venue called Complex.
And it's called... Mm. Not The Complex. Apparently there's a The Complex.
Yeah,
there.
So it's somewhere
it's
called
Complex.
Complex.
And it's called...
Glendalia.
That's exactly right.
Because it's run by Portlandian peoples.
It's all these Portland. Are you from Portland? It was just mostly Portland folks.
Yes, I forgot I'm on
You're
a
on a mic, yes.
I'm You're nodding
just
my
emphatically
head.
Nodded.
I'm originally from Portland.
Yeah?
Oh, you're a real one.
Yeah, exactly.
No one
yeah.
of those fake move there
Fucking
later on life like Andy Woods.
Yeah, you have a reason for the beard. There's a function in your beard.
It's got
Although
a beard
here,
like his mother had and her mother before
my,
that.
Exactly, yeah.
Indian. That beard goes way back.
Cherokee.
So, are they having anybody on the show who's not from the Northwest?
There were some non-Portlandian people
last
night.
They have to have some.
Robert
right?
Buscemi was on the show,
yeah.
And he's from Chicago.
Brock Wilbur.
Yeah.
He's who was so good last night.
He was very good.
But they act like tree huggers, though, right? I mean, that's the that's the key to being on the show. You have to pretend like it'd be a pot-headed tree lover.
I think Heather Thompson, who was on the show last night as well, I think she's from California.
So no relation.
And I think I'm doing the show... yeah, good point.
And, no relation, you said?
And here's a little twist.
And I'm doing the show in a couple of months' time.
They cool. give two spots to random comics that...
Lottery spots. Yeah. It was pretty
What's
cool.
What's a lottery spot? What does that mean?
Any comic that's there that wants to do time can throw their name in, whether they be open micers or professionals.
Anybody.
Except last night, both spots went to people
who were
definitely
great.
Done comedy before. I mean, Ryan Singer was the first spot. And
He's a seasoned monster.
I think he's just taped his Comedy Central half hour. You know, he's
you know, that's what I love about LA. LA is the only place a guy like Singer, who has amazing chops and insane IMDb, would throw his name in a fucking hat to get up and do comedy for what, 30 people?
Well,
in a little hole.
I
dropped
my
wall.
Name in the hat last night because I just went down to watch my friends and support the show, and then Virginia said, "Hey, two people get to go," and so I went, "Oh, I'm here anyway."
Right.
I'll put my name in the hat, and if they call my name, then I'll go up and tell jokes, and either way, I'll just have a drink with friends.
I saw what you were doing as she was going around the room. You kept repositioning and putting your name in over and over again.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and I also told her I tried to claim it, but they do the bingo check.
Uh-huh.
They're like, you know, Ryan Singer was the name that was called out, and I shouted that I got it. But then they compare your name on your ID to
almost
a piece of paper. And
that's what the kerfuffle on stage was about?
Yeah. They looked at the name on the paper, and they compared it to my ID, my driver's
IDs?
License,
uh-huh.
and also the name that the people running the show also knew belonged to me. from knowledge.
Oh man.
And it turns out they didn't match up, which is a shame. I was hopeful for a bit. You can always hope. I think what is life without hope?
I think they knew
it
wasn't you.
The way you live your lives, you heathens.
But you weren't wearing flannel, and that was a dead giveaway that you didn't belong on that show.
Well,
No flannel. Do you even own flannel?
I was wearing flannel in my heart. Hang on, wait a second. What
you had a flannel heart.
What do you mean by flannel? Do you mean like sort of plaid, like...
Yeah, the shirt, the flannel plaid looking shirts that everyone seemed to have on last
You know
night.
I have that. You've seen me wearing...
I haven't seen this.
You've definitely seen me wearing
it. I don't even know who you are.
My name's Matt, and I am a Prior Near Award winner.
Prior Near Award winner. They're retaping that right now, aren't they?
They are. Several friends of mine are involved in it.
They haven't called you
again.
I don't think I'm allowed to, unless they change the rules. But the last few seasons, the rule has been if you were previously a finalist on a season of Last Comic Standing, you can't re-enter.
Like, so not only do you not win if you're just a finalist,
I'm stricken from the records.
Yeah, you lose any opportunity to be a part of that production.
I'm written out of history like one of Stalin's enemies. Mike, the second you're knocked out, they go through all the photos, all the old production photos, and they cut your head out. They etch you out of the negatives.
Stalin was like a pissed off ex-girlfriend.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend do that, actually cut pictures up so that we weren't together.
That's such a teenage thing.
It's really psycho. And this was an adult who was teaching third grade kids. She went haywire. And I was like, really? You chopped up pictures?
Okay, if you break up with a girl, do you delete all the pictures on your Facebook of you and her?
No, it's like history.
Some people do.
I have pictures of girlfriends in my bedroom right now that I don't date anymore.
Yeah. That's gonna end real soon.
You're a little more liberal than the average person. Let's
that's
just
a liberal
that.
Thing?
I think the modern equivalent now is to untag yourself from the Facebook pictures.
Yeah, no,
and I'm not even
that.
Kidding. That is
really?
The modern equivalent.
That
yeah, that's what
thing?
People
they go like, around untagging themselves in all
yeah,
the
like
photos.
Yeah, like
with the
they'll ex. Like the mutual photos because the way it works is if you're both tagged in a picture, then if you go to my photos, you show up.
Right, okay,
up.
That makes
so
sense.
So now they'll untag those pictures so the mutual pictures don't show up in your feed anymore.
My favorite thing is when you go to like OkCupid or a dating site and you see the guy or the girl's picture and it's got the couple there, but her face is just blurred out.
Yep.
Here's
the other one. That just makes her more sexy to me.
Well, we're on
like,
the subject.
It's me, not this girl. This girl.
I've never done a dating site ever.
Really?
I've been dating.
Well, I was gonna say you've had a long term relationship for a while.
Right. How long?
We talked about this last.
9 years.
That doesn't matter.
Eight
oh really?
Years.
Oh yeah, we did talk about this.
You're not on the modern train.
You've been in a relationship all the way through the rise of like OkCupid and Tinder and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Like, I was thinking about Tinder the other day. Like, so many comedians make jokes about it, and I'm just clueless.
You don't even know what it is?
I know, like, the
out- Here's the deal. When you come across
a
picture...
Lindy Hop at the barn dance.
Back in my day.
When you come across a picture on Tinder that has two people in it, and it gets okayed. You know, you either yes or no, and it has two people. What's happened there is that the person who says yes to it is going, I'd fuck either one of them.
Right.
That's really all that's happening there.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you don't really fully understand an app until you, like, play with it and do it. And
you'd get in trouble if you did that.
Of course.
Okay, so.
Yeah? Are you madly in love?
Yeah.
Dude, well, wait. Is she madly in love?
Is he going to say otherwise?
We like each other a bunch. We love each other. Yep.
You're the bane of her existence.
Dude, we like each... It's like... When you're with someone as long as we've been together, it's hard to be like so
excited.
Yeah, about it.
Okay,
exactly.
You have a problem. We want to talk about this. You got to find that spark again.
No,
because
but
you
I
know
get
what's going to happen?
Like,
she's going to end up on Tinder, man.
With your face blurred out.
I love it. His response to that was whatever. Go ahead.
I was wondering, like, if I walked in the house and another guy was fucking her, like, what I would do? Would I like kill them or like, and I'm like, I don't think I'd do anything. I think I'd just be like, I think I'd just like, just leave and be like, okay, that's done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't, and maybe I need to have the passion to like kill them both.
You know? No.
OJ loved her.
Yeah, right?
At least he loved her.
I think it's healthy to be like, you know, I'm not sure what I would do.
Do you think your girlfriend would be upset to know that you wouldn't murder her if you walked in on her fucking
She would, dude. She would hold that against you. She'd be like, yeah.
You know you're saying this into a microphone and it's being recorded forever?
She's
not going to listen.
No, or maybe this is going to be future evidence so that when she turns out murdered, everyone will, like, they always go to the boyfriend first. Like, the first port of call when is they always interview the husband, boyfriend, whatever. But you can go, hey, look, this is how I clearly put
I
on record.
Said I would never do this. I couldn't be. So
I
you'll
would
be off
never
the hook.
Kill it's on a podcast. Her with a hammer next to my bed.
Okay, you've
you
just.
You have a hammer next to your bed?
For nighttime DIY. Is that weird? Is that okay?
Dude, I do, because I don't have any weapons in my house. And
are
I
you joking? You actually have a hammer by the bed?
What am I supposed to do if
someone
breaks
I need
in?
Clarification. Is it true?
Yes.
That's amazing.
What am I supposed to do if someone breaks in the house?
Well, what I would say is fuck my wife, as I think what you would say, I'm guessing. At which point you'd be like, whatever.
We have so much crap in this house that if a murderer came in and tried to kill us, we would just hit them with anything.
How would
year.
You get... You
he know, was killed what? By a pachinko machine.
Crushed under a 1930s
I mean.
Casino.
If I could, I would have a gun next to my...
You don't want a gun.
Why not?
You don't want to... I'm starting to see a bit of a pattern with your thought process.
I've crazy talk.
But I've shot guns like my whole life. Why
have
would
you?
I...
Why don't you have a gun then?
You grew up in kind of like outskirts of Portland, like because a lot of Oregon. I think I only recently realized this. I think people don't because you think of Portland as super Portlandy, liberal, right. Hippie, whatever, trendy, hipstery. But you don't have to go very far outside of Portland before it's full on redneck.
No,
right?
Oh yeah.
No, in fact,
like the beard stays the same, but everything else changes.
The hate.
In fact. Do you know how many? It's two blocks. That's how far you have to go.
Dude, Gresham is pretty fucking redneck.
Yeah.
And that's. You
know. Portland's fucking redneck. It's all redneck.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just like Kansas. It's the same goddamn. Yes, it is.
I agree, man.
Everywhere.
It's
people
funny.
People seem to love Portland, I've heard.
No, it's just funny to me the culture difference of like white people in Portland.
Yeah.
I grew up in the South where. It's just a lot of black people and a lot of white people together. And in Portland, it's just all white people. So
there's a reason
everyone
for that,
has this fucking...
Hey, where in the South?
North Carolina.
Okay, so you were North Carolina and Portland, you grew up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Summers in Portland, and then I went to school in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Divorced family kind of thing. But it really put a perspective on me of like... I mean, my cousin's yearbook was... All white kids. The whole fucking yearbook. Maybe like two black kids in the whole school
Whereas, those were the tokens.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine what that would be like.
Well, there's no sun there. So there's they change. That's
people
the thing.
Change.
There's
humans
a lot
change.
Of black people up there. They just don't look like black people anymore.
That's yeah. racist.
It is. Is that racist or is it race?
Racy.
No. What's the other? What's the other way to go with that?
Why do you say that in those undergarments?
Okay, racy, I got to do a break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/EmeryEmery. That's G-U-M as in motherfucker.
You're so funny.
Being condescending. ROAD.com/EmeryEmery and buy the condescending thing.
If you could save all the times your eyes blinked in one lifetime and use them all at once, you would see blackness for 1.2 years. Hey, I've been seeing blackness ever since I met Heather.
You're about to see a blackout.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Richard Bain and Matt Kirshen.
And we were doing the robot.
Were we doing the robot?
I wasn't looking.
I was trying to do the show.
You're not as cool as we are.
You have it so easy.
I was doing a robot.
There will be a time when that means something really racy.
Real soon.
Right now it's just a punchline. So what were we talking about? Oh yeah,
murder.
Racism. Murder? Murder.
Both.
Murder, husband murder.
It's cooler when you say it. I mean,
did I ever tell you the story about the guy I bought my second car off?
No.
And the murder? Like the second car I bought back in England, I bought from a guy who was the neighbor of my aunt and uncle. Their kids went to the same school. They used to drive each other's kids to school sometimes. So they knew they had a car for sale. And about a year or so later, the wife turned up dead, like at home, horribly, brutally murdered, I think stabbed. And like I said, they always suspect the husband.
Right.
That's the first thing. And like they arrest him, and he has some weird behavior. Like his credit card receipt show he bought a new shirt like that morning, and he wasn't at work until a bit later. You know, weird stuff. Suspicious. Suspicious.
Crazy.
So they start looking through all his stuff, and they find a Scion personal organizer. with a file on it called Wife that lists step by step how he did it.
What?
Wow. Are you kidding me?
Like, it's still on. If you search, it's still on the BBC News website in the archives.
Why?
And made the news, and it literally was like it was like stab, like scatter contents of purse, knock phone off, off hook. Because it sort of looked like a robbery, but not really, because nothing of any value was actually gone. So it looked a bit like a robbery that had been disturbed, but still not quite.
Why would you keep that?
Because he's a fucking idiot.
That's nuts.
But that also meant that not only was he obviously guilty, but then he couldn't even claim crime of passion or anything like that. I was like, well, no,
yeah, that's premeditation.
That is literally as premeditated as it comes.
Right.
What a fucking nerd, too.
Yeah.
Hope he gets wedged in prison.
Good fucking Christ. How long did they put him away for?
I don't know. I mean, he got a life sentence, but life doesn't mean forever. It means a large number of years with a certain possibility.
Like life
parole.
Is 25 here, right?
Is that right?
I don't know.
No, that's in Burkina Faso, where that is how long people live. But
like,
I have no idea if that has bad life expectancy or not.
Two life sentences. That happens to people.
Yeah, so, yeah, multiple. I've seen
many.
So
what is that? That equals to...
Well, I always thought it was like they...
They calculated
you
according
die.
To your age. Though,
I always
right?
thought you die, and then...
They
resurrect you somehow,
right.
and then they put you in prison for another 80 years. Yeah.
No, you're right.
There are we don't have the death penalty in Britain, but there are...
I was going to ask.
No, yeah, we haven't for a while, but there are a few people in prison... Like special cases where the Home Office and the Home Secretary has said like you has removed the possibility of parole.
Right.
Like normally for like really notorious serial killers, like the Moors murderers, who killed a number of kids in the I think 70s. Until within my lifetime, Britain still did technically have the death penalty for high treason and piracy.
Oh. No.
It was one of those like. It would never happen.
Aged book,
like,
right.
Yeah, laws that were still on the book. Technically, I think if you killed the queen or were found to be a pirate, like that, I think that I know being a pirate is different from like a kid's idea of being a pirate. It's actually quite a horrible thing.
Yeah,
but still, I think they're imbalanced.
Hey, yeah. Is that a bird on your shoulder?
Right.
Come here,
Nar!
No!
Nar!
He said Nar. That's really funny. Why do you have the patch on?
Check his leg.
I'm trying to give up stereoscopic vision.
Well, and now... Army! I'm trying to give up. Yeah. All right, so...
Okay.
That's interesting. But they've done away with the death penalty.
Yeah, so like, I think Britain last executed someone... It'd be very easy to look this up. I'm sure someone on the wall can. But I think they last executed someone... In around the 60s, I'm going to say.
Really?
Maybe a bit earlier. And then I think the death penalty remained on the books for a bit, and then it got completely removed, apart from those two weird exceptions. And now it's gone completely.
And chair, injection, not the gallows, right?
I think hanging was the last method of execution in Britain.
Wow.
We should go back to that. It's sexy. What?
What a rush.
That's
what a rush.
Sam Kramer laughing on the other microphone.
Well, now they can't get the drug for the injection now because
there's
it was made in...
Well, they
you
can't.
Did this on your show probably, didn't you?
Well, no, we haven't, but they... No, we should do.
It's
a
good
science-worthy topic.
Yeah, no, it is.
But
France, I think, was creating it?
Well, there's been various... They managed recently... Texas just executed someone last week. And there was a bit of an outcry because one of the things the defense legal team was trying to use as a method to stop it was they were going, you need to tell us who you're getting the chemicals from so we can source it and examine it properly. And they refused to, and they had various injunctions, and eventually a judge let it through. So they have found a source for the injections, but they're finding it harder and harder because the various companies are going, the various drugs companies are having people petition them and go, hang on, what the fuck, what are you doing? And then also, because
wait,
of that...
Wait, what do you mean? Having people petition who?
Well, various anti-death penalty campaigners are tracking down the drugs companies and the chemical supply companies
well,
that are...
Well, it's because there are very specific regulations with regards to what drugs you're allowed to use to
right.
kill somebody.
And so various campaigners are going to these drugs companies and going, what the fuck, are you aware? You, like, hang on, you're making medicine, but you're also supplying these people who are using these drugs to murder people.
Well, and this what happens is there's the oath that, it has something to do with ethics. I know that a lot of these companies are coming through and saying that they don't want to be involved with making...
Yeah, and rightly so.
It's also coming from the drug companies, which is like unheard of.
Yeah.
And lastly...
But also, I'm sure they are thinking about their profits as well, because I can't imagine... Like, supplying drugs for the death penalty is a large amount of their income over the years. However, if people start boycotting the companies as a result, that's going to really cost them money compared to the seven sales a year that they get to prisons.
But we know this is coming up because also recently in the last few years, these drugs aren't working. And some of the states are using, like there have been several cases and they're using drugs that haven't been approved and then they're not working and the guy's still alive after however many minutes.
Which is another source of, another thing they were complaining in Texas. They're like, because it's cruel and unusual punishment.
And they're
not having to use different, they're using different drugs. They're using different chemicals.
Well, and there's a series of drugs. Like the first thing that you're injected with is something that makes it so that you're not feeling anything when you are finally
these
receiving
the drug
that kills you.
These guys are murderers. They don't fucking feel anything.
All right.
What's going to happen when
half
they make...
Half of the time they're not, as statistics are showing.
Right?
There's a fair amount. I mean, we're
so
talking about
funny.
A large percentage of people
who
actually are.
I mean, but to be, these guys are all murderers or African-American people who with sub-average IQs. That's
not even. Or just like, wrong place, wrong time. Or don't speak the language and they're awarded a public offender or defender.
Who normally,
public offender.
What's going to happen when they make all these drugs legal?
Well, I don't think they're going to make the death drugs legal.
All drugs.
Yeah, they will eventually be making most drugs legal, I presume.
Interesting.
What were you going to say, Richard? Did you have something earlier or did we miss the point?
I don't know.
Well, here's what I wonder. Why aren't we just injecting them with
joy?
With lethal doses of ecstasy.
Amen.
I mean, honestly, if you really don't want to do harm in terms of the cruel thing, right? I don't know. I guess it would be unusual to kill someone with ecstasy. I don't know if you can, but it seems like that's what we should be doing.
I think... Fill them
with
MDMA. People have died as a result of MDMA, but not as an overdose. They've just had a bad reaction or a heart attack.
All right, so here's what you do.
You have
give
to
them
do
a bunch
it quite
of MDMA,
a lot of times.
And then set them on the edge of
Mix
a building.
Mix it with vodka and Red Bull.
Vodka and Red Bull.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist, everyone.
We haven't said anything about religion yet, Richard. We still don't know what you believe, and I really would like to know what you believe right after we get back from this break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. Very good news. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the pay more if you want button.
Do it.
If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy, so be generous if you can afford it. Please support the show. That's assuming you can afford it. And please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. The human body can function without a brain.
I know someone who already does.
Oh, really? Who?
I'll tell you later.
Thanks, honey.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3,
and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Richard Bain and Matt Kirshen. Richard, thank you so much for being here. I'm not going to do it the entire show. I'm going to ask you right this minute, tell me what it is you believe. I know we got into this on the premium version of the show. Let's talk about what you believe.
I believe that none of us know what the fuck happens because none of us have died. So until we die, we'll just never know. But is there a God?
Well, let me ask you a question.
I think probably there is something, and if we can put a word on it and call it God, then that'll be it. But
so you believe in something?
Yes.
You presume something made the universe.
I think that, and if I'm not even like full-hearted, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, if I had to, I guess, yeah, there is.
You don't live like a Christian. I mean, I've seen you fuck a goat, so I know better than... Right.
Right.
But it was a baptized goat.
Baptized goat, right.
It was a girl goat, too.
Right, right. No,
oh,
it's
so
important
you're not
to
gay.
Say that.
I'm not gay.
You
were,
gotcha.
And you were all
it's
over
important.
That. You? You? Yeah. Really?
You have me worried there for a second, because we've hung out, and I was close to considering your friend, and I was about to find out that maybe it was a boy goat, and...
Is that where you draw the line, Matt?
Fucking, yeah.
No kids.
Gay bestiality? No kids.
Yeah.
Very funny, man, right there.
Yeah.
Very funny. See what he did there?
Hinds against the wall.
How do you do it? You're amazing. I live with this guy. So I want to talk about that. I'm really interested. First of all,
because I felt, honestly, I felt last time I was on the show, I said that. I said, who are you to say what the fuck happens when we die? Just like Joe Olstein, the super preacher, who is he to, you know what I mean? Like,
I agree with the second part of what you said. The first part I'm going to take some exception with, because I'm not saying that I know what happens till I die. I'm not making claims as an atheist. I'm not making claims that I can't possibly know the answer to. And that's the mistake most people make about atheism. They turn atheism into a hardline position of knowledge that it isn't. All atheism is for me, and for most of the people I know who are atheist, is the position that there isn't any evidence to support any of the God claims currently posited. Up to this date have been put forth. They all sound, smell, and stink like bullshit.
They're making claims that we're making claims. That's their favorite thing to do.
Oh, they're big claim makers. So I'm not claiming I know that there's no afterlife. I'm saying that there's no reason to believe in an afterlife, and it's a waste of time. Matt's looking at me funny.
No, I was just enjoying you ranting.
Yeah, was I ranting?
No, I mean, in a good. I'm not using rant in a pejorative sense.
Okay, cool.
I felt like you look. I felt like you look at Christians as like stupid people.
I look at stupid people as stupid people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody.
So it doesn't even matter if they're like totally Christian. And
well, no, I have Christian friends. Some of my best friends are Christian. I have great. People.
I just don't want them teaching my kids.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. That's the awful truth to that.
Your daughter can't be taught.
Yeah.
I don't want to. How do I explain to my son if he sees a man preaching to another man? What do I tell them?
Right.
It ain't natural.
I have no problem. In fact, I have no problem with religion being part of our society. I have no problem with my daughter going out into the world and experiencing it in any way she wants to or sees fit.
Anally?
That's a whole other story I can share with you.
But won't.
What?
I got a call from her one day. She's like, okay, you were kind of right about this. Anyway,
wasn't that an episode of Who's the Boss?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God.
So, but getting back to the things that really matter, there's nothing wrong with anal.
I know.
See what I did there?
Did.
I still got it.
Yep.
I still got it.
You got chops.
So, I got chops.
We were talking about that Louis monologue earlier.
Yeah.
And honestly, that
Louis C.K. on SNL at the end of the monologue.
Correct.
Around six mark.
Around the 6 minute mark, he goes into a religion chunk. And honestly, that, his bits on religion really, I felt like that's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know? He kind of makes fun of both sides, and because it's like, who can say anything?
Well, who can say anything? First of all, anybody, I've said this a million times, if you're dumb enough to define your God, I can disprove him. Anybody who makes claims that can't be substantiated, frankly, those claims can be dismissed without any thought whatsoever, because that's how much thought really goes into the claims.
Right.
So
it's a game of I know it and you don't, and you know it, you don't know anything. It's just basically them yelling, "This is true," and you going, "It's not true.
Here's
true. It's not true."
Here's, I think I've queued up Louis at the six. We're gonna see if this works.
What did he do to our mom? Something happened.
I don't get it.
Somewhere in heaven, there's a porch with a dead lady under it, and I want this.
Gotta back up.
Somebody's got to check the trunk of God's car.
All right. All right, let's back up. Let's see what the setup, because he's already into the God stuff.
That's
here.
Always the best way to listen to a joke.
What?
Just Louis, start over, Louis.
I don't know if it's the one in the Bible, because that's a weird story. Is he's our father.
Here we go.
And that's we're right. His children. That's it. Our Father who art in heaven. Where's our mother? What happened to our mom? What did he do to our mom? Something happened. Somewhere in heaven there's a porch with a dead lady under it, and I want this story. Somebody's gonna check the trunk of God's car for bleach and rope and fibers. Well, how can we not have a mother? At least maybe God's divorced. Maybe he has an ex-wife. God's a single dad, and he's raising us alone. And we're praying like, and he's like, I'm trying. It's just me up here. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe your life is your time. This is our weekend with dad. That's what life is your weekend. And then when you die, you go to mom's house. It makes sense that God would be a woman, doesn't it? Because you're raised by your mom. I think the reason we made God a man in our cultures is because we want to make sense of the fact that men are in charge. Because otherwise it doesn't really make any sense. Because women, you start with the woman. It's the thing people like to ask, like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Of course it's the egg. Because you can't just make a chicken. You can't just go, chicken. You got to start with an egg and grow a chicken. And then people say, oh, well, where did the egg come from? From a chicken, you idiot. Women birthed us, women raised us, so why aren't they running things? I think I know why. I think it's because millions of years ago, women were in charge, and they were mean, they were horrible. They made us walk around naked, and they'd laugh at you, and they'd flick your penis when you walk by. But what could you do? It's your mom and her friends. Like, what could you possibly do about it? And then one guy punched his mom, and we were like, we can hit them! And then we did the whole thing. But that's why men are mean to women today, because we're terrified of them. That's why we didn't give women the vote till 1920. Women didn't get the vote in this country. That means American democracy is 94 years old. There are three people in my building older than American democracy. That's how women have had a rough time. It was so okay to beat your wife until so recently that today we have a kind of shirt named after it. There's a piece of clothing in our culture, affection. affectionately nicknamed after beating the crap out of your wife. And for some reason, this is offensive to nobody. I saw a woman on Good Morning America or something. She's like, I was walking around the wife at my house and a wife beater. I'm like, stop saying it like it's not horrible. She's wearing a wife beater and child murder shorts. And I'm like, we have a great show. Sam Smith is here.
So,
he didn't you really do the atheism part, but
did we miss part of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We suck.
Well, I think we should watch more because I don't know about you, shut but he's up. A very good comedian, and I think this show could do a lot worse than just to play a lot of Louis C.K. stand-up.
Yeah, no shit. No question about that. You know, Louis C.K. has gone after religion very well. I mean, he has this this short film. Where he's talking to priests and he shot, it's just his own little thing. It's really funny. And there's no doubt in my mind, and I could be wrong, but there's no doubt in my mind the guy doesn't believe in God. I mean, that's what I think. And I think as a comic, he goes after everything because I think that's what most good comics do anyway.
I'm so glad.
What do you mean?
I'm so glad he does go after religion. I mean, more people should. More comics should.
Yeah.
Aren't all comics atheists? Aren't they?
No.
Aren't they, huh?
This guy's not.
Oh.
So, do you... tell me, Richard, do you want to believe there's a God? Do you need to believe there's a God? Tell me, if that's true, why? Why do you want to?
Why not? Because if it's like... pretty much,
God,
it's
though?
What I've grown up believing.
Yeah.
Well, more to the point, does your belief in any way affect how you live your life or what you do on a day-to-day basis? Like, do you think you do anything differently? Do you pray or do any equivalent of praying?
Definitely pray. I guess I talk to God. I talk to God in my head all the time. Yeah.
Were you embarrassed to say that? Because I'm not picking on you at all. It seemed like you were.
I used to talk to like Chris Farley in my head and like Jimi Hendrix when I was a kid. I thought you
could can be
pray.
Embarrassed about that. I want to say
I thought you could pray.
Because he was doing this before Farley died.
This
right.
I was a telekinetic relationship we had. You don't understand.
Thanks for coming in. I'm glad that you came in. It's too bad you got to run.
I got to run after a car. I got to go. It's one of those things where when I was a kid, the idea of prayer was so... When you're a kid, it's so big. There's no rules, you know?
Yeah.
So my grandma would be like telling me to pray. And I thought I could pray to anyone who was dead kind of thing. And they would hear me. So... in my head, I've kind of always held on to that, and like I feel like I do have that thought of like, oh, my grandma knows that I just jacked off because
that's kind of
really
awful.
She's watching me from heaven.
But again, you had that belief before she died, right?
She was just through in the next room before. Yeah.
Remember, your grandma was the one who starred with David Spade in a couple of movies. And
now, let me ask you. That's, I mean, talking to you is always like this. I mean, you just spilled out a really complex equation that I don't want to ignore. I mean, first of all, the idea, it
I
seems
also
like you're
cried
being genuine.
Because the Ninja Turtles weren't real one time.
That's too much of last year.
If that means anything, where my fucking mind is.
But you do accept that the Ninja Turtles aren't real.
No. I saw the trailer. They're real.
But the grandma thing, I'm going to talk about that. The masturbation, grandma seeing you. Were you raised in a family, a culture where masturbation was like awful and evil and bad? No? Okay.
You just like, thought she was watching you.
I was joking.
Okay.
Okay. I was just joking.
All right.
She didn't watch me jack off.
No.
I mean, after she's dead.
I had that when I was a kid, and I believed in God.
I wasn't joking about that. I thought you meant I did the bit about she was in the next room, and
Richard has that condition where if you take a pencil box and you put pencils in it and show it to him and then close it and then but take the pencils out and then say what's in it, he'll presume there's pencils.
What, condition of I'm baked all the time?
Yeah. Is that what it is? Because it seems like you were having trouble shifting between ideas. Here's the question.
Thank you.
Here's
I take
the question.
That as an insult.
here's the question. If when I was a kid, I had that issue where I thought that all of the things that I was doing that were either secret, sexual, or wrong. I mean, I did a lot of wrong things as a kid, really bad. I thought that there were dead people and God and Jesus that could see what I was doing, that I was going to have to pay some piper eventually, or that people were being disappointed.
And you were
by
religious
me.
Back then and doing bad things.
But yeah. you don't believe in like karma or like just doing horrible things.
I believe in the club where we went and watched TJ, but karma's bullshit. I mean, to me, there's no evidence for... First of all, karma is a badly misunderstood
let me tell you
concept.
This.
Well, let me ask you, okay. answer your question. Karma is a badly misunderstood concept in Western culture. Mm. The idea of karma only works across lives. It doesn't work within the concept of karma as it was invented by human people in togas. And then... So we don't even apply it the
like
way it
frat
was,
boys.
Yeah, like frat boys. We don't even apply it in the way that it was designed.
Okay.
In today's culture. Which karma?
Something.
When you ask me, I have to ask you which karma are you talking about?
I'm talking about like the target karma. I don't know the white person American karma.
No, it's bullshit.
We've all grown up with. No, here's an example. Today at work, I found a $100 bill in this person's car. I clean cars. It's a horrible life.
not if you're finding hundreds.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But it wasn't your money, was it?
Right in somebody's car.
So I found I found the $100 bill.
Right.
I could have easily kept it.
Sure, you could have.
I turned it in.
Yep.
That's because you're a good person.
Why did I do that?
Well, you tell me.
Well, am I stupid? Did I miss out on $100?
I would have given it back to the owner.
Is there some universal peace that I can nod my head and walk through because I didn't go through the dark veil of...
Tell me why you did it. Tell me why you gave the money back.
Because I thought about it and I was like, I don't want to fucking deal with the job. Like, I don't want to deal with someone complaining that they lost $100. Then I would be up for... Chances are I could probably get away with it.
Then you didn't do it for the right reasons, Richard.
To avoid... All the bullshit.
That's right. That's not the right reason to not take that person's money.
Well, of course.
What's the right reason?
Letting them have their
because
money.
Because she could have put it there as a trap.
No.
I mean,
no. See, you're falling for it too.
I'm not. You.
What's the right reason for not
there's
taking
100 right reasons.
No, there's only one.
Because it's not your fucking money.
It's not your fucking money.
Well, that's one of them.
No. That's the one. All of the others are bullshit. God looking down on you is bullshit. Losing your job is bullshit. Atheists are moral because morality is simple. What's right and wrong is very simple.
Why is it bullshit losing
what
your job?
What if that person in that
why
car
is that? That's...
was
because
about to use that money to buy a murder? And Richard could have prevented that because then they arrive and like meet the hitman in the pub and they'd be like, I thought I had the money, but I got my car detailed and some white comedian guy now has it.
How do you live with yourself knowing that you gave that money back to that murderous motherfucker? Okay,
hail Satan!
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now a special announcement.
This is a huge super shout out to a few of our listeners. Kyle Delaney, Tesco V, Wendy, Herbie Reagan, Carl Barrett, James the Currently Flaccid, PZ Real, Travis, Kiwi Carl, A.
A? Someone's name A?
Justin Golden, Snake Oil, Timmy the Dog Wilson, Janelle Kelly, Fred Phelps Felches the Goat He Fucked.
Oh, we were doing the Fred Phelps stuff last week.
Mom.
Hi Mom.
Eddie in the Cosmic Microwave Background.
That's nice. We were talking about that.
Rob, Grand Theft Horse. Thea Shock Infinity, Matt Kershon.
Whoa, Matt Kershon was on the
Dave,
wall last week?
Bigfoot raped Phelps with the roadside cross. Palin and Phelps created phony faith. Stone a homo. God is a cunt, like Matt's fake accent. Cameron Winters and Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the wall of reason last
they
week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
That's really funny. Oh, so Matt must have dropped in on the show last week. I had forgotten that. Now, back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense. You can believe in. We're talking with Richard Bain and Matt Kershon.
The ghost of Matt Kershon.
Richard, thanks for being here again, man.
Thank you.
You're not up. There we go.
I get it. You cut me off when we get tiff. Okay.
No.
Was he yelling at me?
No.
Yes.
He fucking yelled at me.
I'll tell you what I was yelling
at.
I was ranting about something that really rubs me, and that is the idea that religion and a belief in God does anything that helps people be moral. In fact, religion tries to corner the market on morality, and you see it on TV all the time when people are discussing with atheists, religious people discussing with atheists. I just watched it yesterday. A guy on the news was talking to an atheist and goes, "Where do you get your morality?" And then wouldn't even let the atheist lady answer the fucking question. "Where do you get your morality? Answer that. Where do you get your morality?" Like a fucking cunt dick. And so that shit makes me crazy because religion doesn't have strong good morality. Religion is it's based on fear. If human beings
Do
are
you
motivated,
honestly
go
think
ahead.
I gave that money back because I was scared God would be mad at me.
I listen, before I ranted, I asked you some questions, and it seems
you
to
asked me
that you told me
when you're picking
that
up
you,
the $100 bill, yep. It's going through. There's 100 thoughts going through your head of why I should keep it and why I should turn it in. Of course, it's the fucking bitch's money. Of course, that's
damn.
Of course, that's one the like first thing I think of.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got a little fucking.
Were you yelling at me?
South Central.
Was he yelling at me? He yelled at me.
It was hot today. Okay, jeez, Louise. Of course, it was the fucking slut's money. She was in a Honda Odyssey. She was asking for it.
See, that is, I mean, listen, that is, when someone's starving, I mean, really, having trouble just knowing if they're going to get a meal tomorrow, and they come across a $100 bill, I'm really not going to be a dick if I find out that they took advantage of the opportunity to take that money. I really am not. What I wish we lived in is I wish we lived in a world where people weren't so hungry that they find themselves
You'd
in
be
that
cool
moment.
With somebody coming in your fucking car and stealing $100?
I've had it happen.
Well, you're cool with it?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Fuck,
it depends.
That's stupid. That
it depends,
sucks.
It depends on the
you
scenario.
You worked for the fucking money and those... The motherfucker just
I barely work.
Well,
can I set a challenge to the people on the wall to find something? Because I know they're good at finding shit. I don't care whether this person pretending to be me or anyone else. But I remember reading a while ago about a social psychology experiment, where the conclusion, I can't even remember the methodology, but the conclusion was people who consider themselves to be more moral ended up behaving in a less ethical way in the test.
Yeah, I've seen the tests.
Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what they did, but they sort of either made them fill out some questionnaire first where they rated their morality, or they made them do something first where they were led to think that they were moral people. And then there was some kind of test where people got to allocate money to themselves and to someone else or things like that.
Yeah.
And it turns out people ended up behaving in a more selfish, less ethical fashion when they already believe themselves to be good people.
You know it's what like else speaks to this, and Matt? You brought this up recently, and that is the studies that have looked at how religious people tip.
This isn't these weren't studied. This is I'm loath to call that studies because this is more anecdotal. But there's a lot of anecdotal examples where people who are waitstaff claim the Sunday service
is the worst.
The people who've just come back from church, and so they're like, "Well, I've done my good deed for the day, so now I can stiff this minimum wage
worker." I consider this
worker.
To be more than anecdotal. I really do. I mean, it's almost
well, it definitely,
these are
it's
shared
global.
Experience.
Well,
yeah,
the other way it definitely plays out is in examples like the Catholic Church, priests doing fucking horrendous things, but believing that they're good people, so they have absolute authority. What they do.
Right.
Oh, I can fuck this kid because I'm a good person because I do all the praying and I'm doing the right thing, so my net balance is positive.
I don't think any priest ever had the process you just laid out. I really don't. You know what I think? I think the priest has the cognitive.
If not the one actually doing the thing, I think the people who are covering it up and the people who are involved in the. Rather than going, taking them to prison, just going like, "We'll deal with this in house."
Well, it's not their ass. I agree with that. I think it's in arrears, though. I don't think.
Yeah, in arrears,
right.
I can see.
Absolutely,
in arrears.
Oh, whoa!
Yeah, that's exactly where it is. See what I did there? So, I listen. I don't know. I don't know if Joe will find the study that you're talking about. I'm sure he's looking for it right now. We'll see if it pops up. But there's no doubt in my mind that the more. The more authority that you think that you have supporting your position, the more horrific you're probably going to behave. That's just logical to me.
the more good a person you consider yourself to be, the less likely you are to act in a good way.
I think it has to do with motivations. I don't think it's just
about... Well, it's probably easier to get away with things when you have the most power.
Well, there's no question about that.
So.
But this isn't even a power thing. Like, these experiments that I'm thinking... And again, this is really hazy memory.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has equal power in the decision-making part of the experiment.
Okay.
But the people who... I can't remember whether it was through a questionnaire or through a separate part of the experiment, consider themselves to have already to be good people, end up behaving in less good ways.
Isn't that everybody? I mean, really? I think, I mean...
I'm starting to think I am a piece of shit. No, I mean, the older I get, I think all of us do.
But that's good. That's probably why you left the $100 bill in the car.
You think that's it?
Because you think I'm a piece of shit. If you thought,
you're right, yeah.
If you thought I am a good moral person, you might have then gone, well, okay, I'm a good person overall, so I could treat myself.
Here's another thing. One time I found $20 and I took it.
That happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I like to take quarters out of people's cars and I do my laundry with it. You know, like two quarters here, and I put it in a jar, and then I just do my laundry at the end of the week.
Well, that is stealing.
Right.
Right?
Right. Okay. So there's no, like, I don't feel bad about it. It's laughable to me, like, taking quarters out of someone's car. But, yeah, something about the hundred.
Are we going to have to put this show out after the statute of limitations expires?
Here's another thing. Like, maybe if it had been, like, a sports car, like some fucking really nice luxury car. Yeah. It was a minivan. There was like kid shit everywhere. I kind of felt bad about that. I was like, eh, you know, some ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it was some yuppie, like, you know, douchebags in BMW, maybe I would have looked at it like, fuck this guy. You know, this guy doesn't.
Let me equalize this conversation. When I was 17 years old, me and two other friends plotted and executed an after-hours break-in and stole $5,000 out of a safe of a gas station.
Cool.
And we got away with it. It's
yes.
awful. So you and I are not that dissimilar. I was 17 when I did that. Now, over the course of my life...
All right, we got him. Get in here.
You know what I love? I love how he touched my headphones, like he's talking on a microphone that's built into my headphones.
Like,
a
check,
little
huh?
Bluetooth. I know, as he was talking, I was thinking we probably should have told him before the premium part of the episode that we were doing the This Is Your Life episode, and here's your boss.
So, I did a lot of bad things when I was a kid, really bad. I don't blame the fact that I was religious on the fact that I did those things.
Right. More, you're just a dumb kid.
I was a really bad kid with a really bad background.
A lot of bad shit
happened to me when I was younger, and I was an angry, bitter, sad, fucked up little dude. And so I did really bad shit for a while. When I started to learn that there wasn't a God, when I started to learn that that religion was bullshit shit, when I started making that transition to what I referred to as spiritual as opposed to non-religious, or religious rather, or a believer, that was when I started to actually analyze my actions. By the time I became an agnostic, I was no longer comfortable with those kinds of behaviors and actions at all.
And I'm so glad for that.
Because I turned into something different out of a desire to be a better human being and enjoy my life without guilt. So there's certainly that motivation.
I think there's an instant karma to that. You know, you thinking about the future and wanting to be a better person. And
karma, though?
But it's
what
like
do you mean?
The karma is you avoided a life of fucking jail, death, piece of shit friends. Like, that's
reverse engineering this whole scenario. Karma's just nutty. That's okay. Stupid.
Karma's like homeostasis. It's energetic homeostasis. It's like
constant.
I don't have
mean.
Any idea what you're talking about.
Well. Yeah. You know what? We're going to spend the next 30 minutes in the premium deriding Sam. Anyway, so that's it, ladies and gentlemen, for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Richard Bain and Matt Kirshen.
Thank you.
I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Sam Kramer. Where can people find you guys?
Dick Bain on Twitter, at Dick Bain.
D-I-C-K-B-A-I-N.
B-A-I-N.
Do you go by Dick? Do people call you Dick in your childhood?
Sometimes, yeah. Every...
bully.
I want to talk about the name Richard versus Dick. Matt, where they find you?
They can find me at Matt Kirshen. Check the spelling from the person who's pretending to be me on the wall. And they can listen to my podcast, Probably Science.
That's exactly right. Where was I here? Tune in next week when our guests will be...
People with opinions.
And we'll be talking about...
Knowledge.
This has been the free version of episode 149, another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph. Can't wait for Tam Swam. And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron. Don't give a damn, Winters.
Some characters mentioned in this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.